25. In verse 31. I believe that what God is going to show us this morning, we're going to use the words that most of where we're going to be going today is the words of Jesus, because He's the King, right? And so, I mean, if Jesus gives these commands to live by, and if He teaches us these things, I mean, this came from Jesus. This is obviously since He is God, this is probably pretty serious business. He probably meant it pretty seriously. And in verse 31, He says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, and the goats on His left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come ye, blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. I was naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me, and I was in prison, and ye came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee a drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took him in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the King answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it to me. Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And of course, we can go on, we all have heard the scriptures probably 100 times, because you didn't feed me, and because you didn't clothe me, and because you didn't come visit me, and because you didn't take care of me when I was down and out. So therefore, depart from me into the fire that's to be prepared for the devil. Now, the first thing, a lot of times, whenever the Lord gives me this to preach on, there's always going to be somebody that's going to say, well, that's for the tribulation period. Okay, and I don't want to talk about doctrines today. This is strictly from the Spirit of God. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 5 and verse 10, I believe, Paul said, and he says, we. So when he says we, he's talking about himself and everyone he's talking to. He says, For we will all stand before the judgment of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, and we will receive what's owed to us while we were here in our bodies or here on earth, whether that be good or bad. So that means every one of us are going to stand before. In Philippians it says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord at someday. Everyone will. So we will all, unsaved and saved, will stand before the Lord. Two different judgments, two different thrones, we understand that. But we will all stand before the Lord. So, take that in context and listening to the words of Jesus, He says, when I was hungry, you fed me. He's talking about separating them, sheep and goats. And that's really what I want to talk about today, is separating the sheep and the goats. Okay? And what I want to point out to you is this, is all the commandments that Jesus gave us, all the things that He laid out. And what I really want to point out to you is just because we're sitting in these pews don't mean that we're sheep. Okay? There's a lot of goats that come to church. As a matter of fact, and I'm not talking about your church, folks, so please, if this fits, if the shoe fits, as they say, wear it. Okay? If it don't, then just understand. But I go all over the United States. This is what I do. This is what God called me to do. And I go all over the United States. And I'm telling you, at least 80% what I believe, from what I see. Because Jesus says, we'll know you by your fruits that you bear, right? Well, I will know if you're mine by the fruits that you bear. It talks about that. He says that in Matthew also. You know, we know by the fruits that someone bears if they're really serving the Lord. Are they feeding the hungry? Are they taking care of the sick? And I'm telling you, probably 80% or 70% of the people who sit in the pews are goats. Okay? For in Romans 10, 9, 10, 8, 9, 10, 9, 10, you know, for if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, right, and believe in your heart that He was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Okay? That's a true statement. But we can't take this out of context. When we confess, it says before that, I'm going to have to go there for just real fast here, because it says before that, it's talking about, we seem to take that out of context too much. 10:9, but on verse 8 it says, but what saith it? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which was preached. So the word of faith has to be in your heart. Then you confess it with your mouth. Then you'll be saved. And when you're saved, you're born again, right? So too many times, folks, we've watered down this gospel. Too many times, folks, we have made, and I'm talking about the congregation, okay? We've made the pastors of these churches sell out for 10 shekels and a change of clothes, because the only way he can make a living, or the only way he can get a paycheck, is if he preaches what tickles our ear. Otherwise, we fire him. And I'm talking again, if it fits, wear it, and if it don't, throw it out. But just understand, I'm talking about the church in general, especially in the United States. So we tell people, bow your head and slip up your hand and say this prayer, and now you're saved. And what we're doing is we're spending so much time convincing the goats that they're sheep. Amen? And so we got a church full of goats. And then what happens? Understand something. The Bible talks very clearly about this. About forgiving your neighbor. About asking for forgiveness. And we should forgive, right? If we're sheep, we will always get along. Sheep always get along. Because if I do something to offend you, ma'am, it's going to prick me right here. And then plus, biblically, you should say to me, excuse me, you offended me. You said this. And it should prick me. And I should say, will you please forgive me? And you should say, yes, I will forgive you. And we should hug, and we should embrace, and that should be that. Sheep and goats will never get along. How many church splits have we ever seen? Sheep and goats will never get along. Never. Never get along. It can't happen. That's what causes church splits. It's because there's goats running the show. Sheep and goats will never get along. And I just feel, boy, I'm just feeling stirred in my spirit. Something is coming up. Guys, are we doing what we're called to do, or are we just sitting in the pews? Sitting in the pews does not make you a sheep. So, you know, the Pharisees, I believe it was, asked Jesus, what's the greatest command? They're trying to trip him up. He said, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, right? And then he says, and the second is as equal. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I've heard of some compassions of love in this church where someone had actually laid down their body for another person. And if I heard the story right, several people offered to do it. That's awesome. And then you're coming together to help support these people. That's Christianity 101. But I believe there's some hearts here that are being pricked that are saying, I'm not doing well. I mean, I come to church every Sunday morning. You know what? If we put God on a time frame, we're not being led by His Spirit. We're putting Him in a box. We're telling Him. How many times, folks, don't raise your hands on this. How many times when you get some big mouth evangelist that comes through here or whatever, do you start looking at your watch at a certain time? God's, I'm done. Nope. I give God what He deserved. I give Him my 1 hour and 10 minutes or whatever the time might be. Nope. That's all God gets from me. And the Spirit of God is moving, and we put Him in a box. Folks, it can't happen. We can't do that no more. Not if you're a sheep. And if you're a sheep, you won't do that. Only goats do that. Only goats will do that. I think the calling today that God has given us, the message today that God wants you to have, is this. Jesus said, the harvest is so great, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into the harvest. Okay? The harvest is so great. And he's talking about what? He's talking about the harvest of salvation. He's also talking about the needs. Folks, listen to me. There is such a need in this world. There's such a need right here in your community. And you guys are just close to New York City, which is really a need. I mean, you can go on and on. But right here, even in our community, there's a need. There's a need in Mississippi. We need volunteers in Mississippi. And I didn't come here as a sales pitch. Okay, I don't. I come and I show the video of what I'm doing. Okay? I show the video and I tell you, and if you have any questions, I'll tell you what's going on down there. But I'm just one of many people who are out there trying to just to be a vessel for the Lord. I'm a nobody. Okay? We're all nobodies. We're all equal in the body of Christ. Every one of us. Nobody's greater, nobody's lesser. Okay? So, I mean, I that's what I do. At this point, that's where God's got me for the season of my life. You know, I've been there for 8 months. I got there September 8th. I've been there for 8 months. My wife's been back home taking care of. My youngest daughter is 16 and she's still in high school. So they really can't to leave. My oldest daughter's 21. She quit. She forsake her job. She quit her job. She's down there. She works with me full time in the ministry now. And so, but anyways, that's what I do. But the work, the harvest is so great. But the workers are so few. The harvest, of course, like we said, we're talking about salvation. The harvest, there's so many unsaved that need to hear the gospel. That's one harvest. There's so many people that have physical needs that need help. That's another harvest. There's people down there that are still living in tents, believe it or not, 8 months later, that need our help. That's another harvest. Okay? There's people who need your money, and that's another harvest. I want to talk to you about stewardship for just a minute. I'm always going to use just the words of Jesus. This whole sermon is going to be based on the words of Jesus. So just hang with me here. Jesus talks about money and possessions. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust do corrupt and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust can corrupt and the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Visual in your head. Okay, I want you to imagine a physical treasure chest on earth and a physical treasure chest in heaven. Okay, and I want you to imagine it to be two separate bank accounts. That if you're keeping track, that was chapter 6 and verse 19 of Matthew. All right, now I want you to imagine this: are you spending more money each month for entertainment? And when I talk about entertainment, I'm talking about fancy cars or motorcycles or boats or going out to eat or going to movies. And I don't know what you actually do here on the East Coast. I mean, as far as entertainment, you know, sailboating or whatever. I don't have any idea, but you do. Do you spend more money a month on entertainment than you do serving people, than you do helping people, than you do feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, just what he talks about? Visiting the sick, helping the sick maybe pay their medical bills. Do you spend more money per month, per week, on entertainment? Now, I'm not talking about your basic living expenses, and I'll even let it slide that you might own a $30,000 vehicle when a $15,000 vehicle would get you around just as well and look just as pretty. Okay? I'll even let that one slide for today. I'm talking about entertainment. Do you spend more money per month on entertainment than you do? I know we tithe, right? We tithe. Jesus, when he talked about stewardship, it really wasn't about tithing. You don't really hear Jesus say to give 10% of your income. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, I believe that it says that all the Christians sold everything they had and they brought it to the apostles' feet so that the apostles could distribute it so that no one had needs. I want you to think about something. I want you to think about the house you live in, the car you drive, the entertainment that you do, the boat, the motorcycle, the whatever. I want you to think about how blessed you are at whatever stage of you're at in your life. And then I want you to think about the homeless people who are living with nothing and begging for meals every single day. For people who can't go to the hospital and get a certain surgery because they have no money and no insurance and no means of getting it. The people who are living in stinky clothes, and when we go by them, we go, geez, they need a bath. Oh my gosh. And instead of thinking that they don't have another change of clothes, let alone a wash machine or a tub to shower in, but we're quick to criticize, aren't we? drunk who lays on the corner and drinks wine and begs money for wine. Because he's just trying to kill a pain that he don't know. He's got a big hole inside him and only Jesus can fill it, but he don't know about it. So we make fun of him because he's laying there as a drunk. We say, I'm not giving him a dime because he'll just waste it on booze. Peter and John says, silver and gold I have none, but what I have I will give to you. How about picking him up and taking him somewhere and buying him a burger and telling him about Jesus? How about the orphans? I know of an orphanage. I know of several orphanages. I know of a man who's in ministry from over here in Pittsburgh. The Lord convicted his heart and got on his heart. And so he actually was a pastor of a seeker-sensitive church, of a church who was doing the same thing, paying him 10 shekels and a shirt to preach what they wanted to hear. And his church was growing and he was doing great. And the Lord got a hold of his heart and crushed him. And when he went back and he started preaching a hard-hitting message kind of similar to this, within 3 weeks they fired him. So anyways, the Lord had a hold of his heart. So he went into a mission. He started his ministry became an orphanage ministry. And he has several orphanages all around the third world countries. And 98.9% of the money that goes to his ministry, to his missions, goes right to the orphans. And you know how you can prove that? For $20 a month, you can feed an orphan in Vietnam, and it's this new orphanage she just set up in Vietnam. It's just like, I don't know, it's just 12th or 13th orphanage. But for $20 a month, if you give $20 a month, you will feed one orphan. Feed, clothe, and house, and take medical care of medical for $20 a month. Okay, that proves that the money is going right to the orphans, because he's not putting 10 of it in his pocket, and then that's only going to take care of half an orphan, you see? Anyways, the point of this is that $20 a month. How many $20 a month do you waste when you could be feeding a kid and keeping them off the street, keeping them from dying of starvation? How many $20 a month do we waste on entertainment? So we think about this. We think about this treasure. We think about storing up our treasures in heaven or on earth. And Jesus, this is Jesus talking. He says, store not up your treasures on earth. Think about your life. You're going to live right around maybe 100 years or less, right? I mean, whatever, that's pretty close. 100 years or less on this earth. And eternity is what? Eternity. And it's hard to wrap our mind around that, isn't it? But I want you to think about this. How would you rather put 10% or 15 or whatever the number is in a bank account, so from the time you're 50 till the time you're 80 or 100 or whatever you live, you have a nice comfortable retirement? Because ain't that what we do? We put sock money, we work hard, and we kind of neglect the kids, and we kind of neglect the spouse, so we can put that, sock that money away, so we can retire at 50 or 55 or whatever that magic number is in our life, so we can have a luxurious, happy life, right? Isn't that what we do as Americans? So now we got this little bank account that we can retire on for the next 30 years or whatever that time may be before we're taken home. Hopefully we're taken home. Okay? And so for eternity, we've stored up $5. I'm just making these numbers up. We stored $5 in heaven. That's going to be our bank account for eternity, so we could have hundreds of thousands of dollars on our earthly bank account for 30 years. Does that even make sense? Is there even a financial institution that would even think that would make any kind of sense? Isn't that kind of backwards? Shouldn't we be storing $5 on earth for a 30-year retirement, so we have hundreds of thousands in our heavenly bank account for eternity? Wouldn't that make more sense? Shouldn't we be thinking things differently and getting out of the flesh and quitting? We're bought with a price. We're not our own anymore. And that's just what Jesus said about stewardship. That's not even getting into the whole thing. So guys, don't think just because you tithe to your church, and again, I'm not taking away from that. But don't think just because you tithe to your church that you're fulfilling your duty and that that's filling up your heavenly bank account. Because Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. If your tithing is just another bill, come on. If your tithing is just another bill that you have to pay every week, that's not where your treasure is. I never preach on money because I don't want money, because money corrupts me. Before I got saved, money was my God. And because of money, I went to federal prison. And that's where I got saved. That's where God got a hold of me. And I ended up selling my business when I got out of prison, which I had a pretty big business. I ended up selling my business and giving it to the poor, and I've lived on faith now for, well, we pray in every dime for Mississippi and for our home at home. I don't want money. God will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. And guys, I'm not telling you that I don't have great entertainment. I'm not saying that. It's not that He wants you to live like peasants. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Pastor, I'm running out of time. I'm sorry I took more of your time. If you're a goat, you can leave. I do hope that this message touched whoever it's supposed to. I really believe it comes from the Spirit of God. I've really been churning for this church for a while. And I don't know why, because I don't know you guys, and I don't really know this. And I didn't let Dave tell me a lot about what's going on here, because I don't want to know from man. I want to hear it from God. Okay? And I believe that there was something that really pricked your hearts here as a congregation. I really believe that. And I don't know, I still don't know what that is. It's not for me to know. But guys, I want you to understand something. If you're just sitting in your pews every Sunday, if you're not doing something for the Lord, you're probably a goat. And I'm not, and I'm going to lay it very straight on the line. If you're not doing anything other than come to church on Sunday morning and maybe Wednesday night or whatever your schedule is here at this particular congregation, you better really check your spirit. You might be a goat. Okay? If you're storing up your treasures on earth instead of in heaven, you might be a goat. Okay? Just because you confess with your mouth don't mean that you're necessarily saved. That verse was taken out of context many years ago. Okay? And I believe that passage there. I do believe it. I don't believe, you know, one thing I wanted to say real fast is in Matthew 25, you know what it says? Let me get there. I just have to say this, because I don't want you to get the message that I'm saying that we have to work our way to salvation. I do not believe that. But he says, see if I can find it here. Okay. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when did we sell you? Remember this. Then shall the righteous answer and say that. Our righteousness, we do not earn our righteousness. Our righteousness is given to us the day we get born again. Our righteousness was earned on the cross. Okay? We do not earn our righteousness. But because we are righteous, we do these things. Okay? Please understand it. I'm not stepping on any doctrine here. So, Pastor, thank you. Congregation, thank you very much. It takes a